Hi, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development, and welcome to the Breakout Room, the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. And we hope that we can accomplish all three as we welcome our guests for this specific episode on the topic, how to build the most profitable and impactful business live in the Breakout Room. So let me just tell you a little bit about Alan Lazarus. He is the CEO of Next Level University, Global Top 100 podcasts, 1,600 plus episodes, 9,000 plus listens, 170 plus countries, computer engineer with MBA and a business coach. But I'm sure he's willing to tell you so much more about himself and his expertise as we welcome into the studio live in the Breakout Room, our guest, Alan Lazarus. Welcome.
Hello, health, happiness, and prosperity. And you those mentioned two. Personal development.
Yes.
So I'm a big fan of all of those things, especially personal development. So it's going to be good.
Ah, wonderful. Thank you for being here and for agreeing to share the time with us and your expertise in the Breakout Room. So, Alan, let's start on a light note. When people hear the name Alan Lazarus, what do you want them to think about? What do you want to come to their mind that represents who you stand for in terms of your level of expertise and your brand?
So I would say holistic success. So not just being great at one thing, but being healthy, wealthy, and in love. And I think personal development, self-improvement, holistic self-improvement.
Okay, great. How did you find your niche in terms of your choice for your career, your calling, whatever you choose to name it? How did you discover your niche?
Well, there's two thoughts to that, which is, did I find it or did it find me? Did I uncover it? I think that's probably the way that I would understand it is, I was always into self-improvement,
yeah,
but it was more external and achievement. Until after 26, I got in a tough car accident and I had sort of my quarter life crisis and I realized that I was achieving at the expense of fulfillment inside. And after that, I really flipped the script and decided to go focus on the self-development, the self-improvement, the personal growth, and then allow success and achievement to sort of be a byproduct of that. And that was 9 years ago. So I often joke, I'm 35, I'm hoping to hit puberty at 36. But ultimately, how did I find my niche? I've always been super, super, super improvement oriented. And personal development was definitely something that I've always longed for. And I wish that I grew up in an environment with more of it. And then after 26, I just became so obsessed with self-improvement and personal growth that here I am today. Growing up, I always wanted to be a math teacher. That was my dream. And I always said back then, I said, unfortunately, I don't make enough money.
Yep.
And now I'm 35 years old. And in a way, I'm kind of a math teacher to business owners. So okay. Kind of my way of being a math teacher in a more profitable way. And because underpinning every business is math, finance. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I started out as a mindset coach, fitness coach, personal development coach, life coach, all these different things, peak performance coach. And then I eventually landed on business coaching. And so my business coaching is about growing yourself and growing your business. That's it. Yeah. That's my niche. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing, Alan. In terms of what I'm hearing from you, I get the picture. Life is basically a numbers game. Everything is based on numbers. Time is based on numbers. Income is based on numbers. Everything that we do, basically, the background of it is numbers. I get that. So there are two important aspects of your life that I want to look at. And the first was, you said you had the first bright light from a book by Bonnie Ware entitled The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. What song life lessons did you gain from that reading, Alan, that you could share with us?
So I was 26 years old. When I was 2 years old, my father passed away in a car accident when he was 28 years old.
Wow.
And when I was 26, I got in my own car accident that was extremely close to fatal. I had a specific car that was, I used to call it the tank. It saved my life, I think. Right. And I've seen pictures of my car, seen pictures of his car, and they don't look super different. But fortunately, I was okay physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I really was not. I was existential crisis, quarter life crisis type of thing.
Yeah.
I found that book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware, because I was kind of, I almost died. My dad did die. And I was in all the regrets of my own poor choices. My own regrets. And so I actually carry around these flashcards in my pocket, and they're all tattered up and they're all broken and ripped up actually now. But years and years and years ago, this is 9 years ago when I got in that car accident, I found a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And she worked in hospice for 8 years, and she worked with the terminally ill to try to take care of them. And she noticed these same regrets, these patterns of regret come up over and over and over again.
Right.
And she thought her job was to take care of them, when in reality it was just to listen. And she wrote a book about it. And she has what's called, again, the top five regrets of the dying. The number one regret of the dying, this is what resonated with me most back then, is I wish I lived a life true to myself and not what others expected of me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of us fall victim to pleasing others. We're afraid of judgment. We don't speak up. We don't listen to our conscience or our inner voice.
Yeah.
We tend to be guided by influences outside of ourselves or what our parents want or whatever. And when we do face mortality, sometimes it's a hell of a wake-up call of, this isn't really the life that I really wanted. And fortunately, after that, I went on this journey of personal development, personal growth, self-improvement. And I actually interviewed Bronnie 4 years later.
Okay, great.
So I got to meet her and interview her, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now I do what's called reverse engineering regret. I am constantly thinking to myself, as a matter of fact, recently I did this. I looked into my future and I said, will I regret it if I don't see this person anymore, like ever again, if I never saw that person again?
Yeah.
And I have an old friend of mine that I haven't kept in touch with, and I'm going to go get lunch with him because I went into my future and I would regret it.
Yeah.
If I never talked to my buddy Kiki again, I would regret it. And so I'm going to reach out and see if he wants to grab lunch and connect. And I think that I'm constantly doing that. I'm trying to anticipate regrets in advance and try to make choices today that maximize the probability. You mentioned numbers, the probability that I don't have regret.
Yeah.
Because before, during that car accident at 26, when I faced sort of mortality, for lack of better phrasing, and again, I didn't get hurt. So it was metaphorical mortality. And there's a whole story there, but essentially I had that existential, what was the purpose of my life, all that stuff. And I had a lot of regret, so many regrets. You know, I drank too much and too often. You know, I chased dreams that weren't really mine. I achieved at the expense of who I really am. I wasn't as focused on my character or personal growth as I would have liked, because I didn't even know personal growth was a thing, really, at least not consciously. And after that, I flipped the script, and the way I can describe it is this. I now know that I'm not living a life that I would regret. I have a business and a life that is designed around my core values and my purpose and my calling. And I know that no matter how hard it gets, because it's still very hard, I'm not going to regret that. You know, you're not going to regret reading too many books. You never hear someone at the end of their life going, oh, I read too many books. That's really what did it. You know what it was? I developed myself too much. I shouldn't have focused so much on personal growth. Like, you never hear regrets like that, but you do hear, I drank too much, I smoked too much, I didn't take care of my family, whatever it is. So yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I feel a passion in your voice, Alan. That is so real. And I guess it can be something that a lot of folks can resonate with. I'm glad that you focus on personal development and really finding a way to develop yourself and your true values and stick to them as much as you possibly can. That shows a whole lot of maturity and a desire for excellence, is how I would describe it. And then there was this TEDx talk by Tony Robbins. Tell us a bit about that and what impacted you the most from that experience.
Yeah, so the TED talk by Tony Robbins, you can look it up. It's Why We Do What We Do. And in my opinion, it's the best TED talk out there.
Okay.
But that was my first, the first time I was exposed to personal development, personal growth, self-improvement in a way that really landed.
Right.
It really, really landed. And the whole idea is why we do what we do and exploring your mind and why you're making the choices you're making. Explore your past, explore your present, understand what you want in the future. And a lot of people think, well, you know, just be present in the moment. And I think that's not great advice. I think you need to learn from the past, enjoy the present, and focus on the future. You know, some people are overly focused on the future and they're always anxious and they're always worried and they're never in the present. And then some people are always in the present, hoping they're going to end up somewhere great in the future, but it's completely undesigned. And then some people dwell on the past too much. So I think past, present, and future all have to come together. And I think that TED talk was my first real, holy crap, this is what I want to spend the rest of my life doing, which is just, I have it written in the corner of my room, actually, my office. You are here to maximize your own unique potential and to help others do the same. Everything yeah. else is secondary. That's my note from my highest self to my human self.
Yeah.
And that's really, I mean, even right now, right? It says how to build the most profitable and impactful business. But what are we talking about? We're talking about self-improvement. We're talking about mm-hmm. maximizing your potential.
Yeah.
And so whether it's business or any podcasts I go on, that's why I'm here. That's what I'm about. And that TED talk was sort of the first exposure to where I really uncovered what I want to do for my career versus just being a computer engineer, even though I did enjoy that as well.
Yeah, I love it, Alan. Thank you so much. What is one of the major challenges that, and this is basically from your experience, more or less, when you started in business, as well as your current coaching experience, in terms of how people build a business that can be sustainable, profitable, and indeed impactful? What is one of the major challenges from your experience that you recognize people face?
Number one challenge is entitlement. So there's this movement in the 21st century of you can start a business as long as you have a laptop and an internet connection, and that's true and that's great. But I like to use the book The 4-Hour Workweek as an example. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very dishonest book, and I think it's a very dishonest book title. Now, okay. Tim Ferriss, I'm not trying to crap on him,
mm-hmm.
but the truth of the matter is, and I'm just going to call it out, there is no 4-Hour Workweek. And unfortunately, Tim chose that title because it sold books
mm-hmm.
and it captures people's attention. And some of the principles in that book are actually great, like the Pareto principle, stuff like that. Yeah. But the truth is the author never worked 4 hours a week. He worked 80-hour weeks constantly for decades before he became Tim Ferriss as we know him now. And I just think it's a really irresponsible book to write, because if young people get a hold of that book and they start to feel like they deserve big rewards for very little effort,
yeah,
I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
And I think that the things that my clients face, the things that I notice people face, is that in the 21st century, we've gotten extremely entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wonders why their podcast isn't more successful. Everyone wonders why their business isn't more successful, when in reality, it's just the work ethic often isn't there.
Yeah.
And I have some amazing clients that work really, really hard, so I take nothing from them. But I do think in the 21st century, we got to get back to the tried and true fundamentals of what it really takes to build a real business and what it takes to build a real brand. And I think, you know, there's 5 million podcasts and people are like, well, how come mine isn't viral? You really do have to kind of strip away all of the shiny social media stuff that everyone, first of all, I call it the inverse 10 rule. If someone is pretending to look very successful, they actually are 1/10 as successful as you think. And if they're not pretending to look successful, they're probably 10 times more successful than you think. And that's fascinating. Yep. Because really fulfilled, successful people are not focused on trying to look successful and fulfilled. They just are enjoying their life, right?
That's right.
And the people who are working the hardest and building real businesses don't have time to, you know, fake anything. So that's been fascinating for me. I have, you know, one person who's a multi-millionaire mentor and super, super successful, but you'd never know it, drives a decent car, whatever. And then you've got someone else who is driving a Ferrari who I know is broke.
Wow.
And there's a lot of that going on. And so the biggest challenge I think we all face in the 21st century is complacency and entitlement.
Mm.
I think that work ethic, self-discipline, and personal development is the only way any of us will ever achieve our dreams in a way that's actually fulfilling. And I think that we live in a world now where it's easier than ever, unfortunately, to fake a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what that does is it's deeply unfulfilling. And I've fallen victim to that too. I mean, in my early 20s and all that kind of stuff. So the tried and true fundamentals are always what matters. They're always what's going to matter. And I think the question that I like to ask everybody is, there's this great book by Morgan Housel called Same as Ever. And there's this question that I always ask myself. I always ask my team. We have a 21-person team. And I always say, what was true 5 years ago that's also going to be true 5 years from now? Design your life and your business around that. Don't design your life and your business because Clubhouse is hot right now.
Yeah.
It's very important that you have a train and a through line and a business and a passion and a purpose for a profit that is aligned with who you aspire to be and who you actually are, because otherwise you're just not going to sustain it long enough to make a real dent. And most likely success will take a lot longer than you think if you're optimistic. And if you're not optimistic, you probably won't start a business because you don't believe you can. And in which case you need to believe in yourself more.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Alan. You know, in terms of being consistent and maintaining focus, how do you advise people to just don't pay attention to all the muck and all the stuff that is going around and basically keep their eyes on the goal, the thing that really drives them to the place where they can eventually achieve the success? With regards to the information I see here, it is phrased this way: with all that you do, how do you stay in alignment with overwhelm? And I guess that's what I really want to get to at this point.
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate the question. I think the first answer I would give with that is, I think success is kind of like a seesaw.
Yeah.
On one end, you have being down and out, struggling with overwhelm, being under pressure, being up against it, struggling with self-discipline, having a hard time. And then the seesaw flips and all of a sudden you're like successful and the harvest and all of a sudden you see the fruits of your labor. But the lag time between those two is so big. Hmm. It's so big. Yeah. So Kevin and I in our business, and we were definitely broke in the beginning, but we started to build a real business and we had a really big month. We had a $74,000 month. And for us, that was big. For businesses globally, I don't think that's a big deal, but for us, that's a really big deal. And for a podcast, that's a really big deal. But I told Kev, I said, don't let this get to our head. This has nothing to do with what we're doing right now. This has everything to do with what we've done for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, when you mention the word focus,
mm-hmm.
it's by far the most important skill in the 21st century. People who can't focus are in so much trouble. So you have to practice it. And I call it a skill because it really is something you have to practice. I struggled with focus so much until I got really back into fitness. And then that's one of the reasons why weight training is so important, because when you're under heavy weight, you have to focus. So it trains your brain how to focus again.
Right.
But I'll sit here in a dark office by myself doing work for, you know, 90 minutes at a time all the time. And people don't see that. And that's okay. But it's important to understand that all of the flashy stuff that Kevin and I enjoy at Next Level University podcast, top 100, multiple podcasts. We produce 50 other shows, 21 person team, all this awesome stuff, live events, retreats, blah, blah, blah. It's built one brick at a time behind the scenes. And so how do you deal with overwhelm? You realize, number one, it's par for the course. The only way to reach a new level is to take another level of responsibility in advance. And as the CEO of Next Level University, it's cool to be CEO, but it's also the responsibility. It's my responsibility to make sure we're successful.
Yeah.
So when payroll comes at the end of February, I have to make sure we have enough money in the bank. It's real cool to say CEO. It's real cool to talk about goals and dreams. But when it comes to actually achieving them, it's actually pretty brutal. It's like really brutal, actually. And I used to think everyone should be an entrepreneur and all that kind of stuff. That was back before I knew the difference between like entrepreneur type people and people who really are tend to be on the more complacent end. If you are certainty driven and you do need consistent income to feel certain and secure, do not be an entrepreneur. Please, please, please do not do it. If you cannot handle the idea of working for someone else and you cannot not have complete control over your own time, then you probably need to be an entrepreneur. And you know what's cool about when I know someone should be an entrepreneur when they don't want to.
Okay.
It's like I don't want to be an entrepreneur, but I feel like I have to. I feel like I'm supposed to, versus someone who's like, oh, that would be really cool. If you're one of those, oh, that would be really cool, you're in so much trouble. And I'm telling you this because I care.
Okay, great.
It's not cool. Yep. It's a 21-person team. That sounds cool. But really think about that for a second. That's 21 families. That's 21 individuals that NLU is providing for. That any one of them goes down, and it's my responsibility to make sure everyone's in their challenge skills sweet spot, everyone's aligned, everyone's got their goals and dreams, everyone's doing their thing, and the emotional engagement of the team, and everyone's getting along, and the culture, and who's a good fit, and what their position, their roles, responsibilities, all that. Goals, roles, and responsibilities all have to be in alignment, and you have to somehow harmonize 21 individuals all toward a common cause. It is nothing short of absolutely exhausting.
Yeah.
24/7, 365. But I'm not trying to be overly negative here. It's deeply meaningful, and it's work that I adore. But if you don't feel like you want to work 10-hour days every day, 6 days a week, you really need to reconsider the size of your goals. And that goes for health, wealth, and love. So like, if you don't want to work out every day, you don't want to be a professional bodybuilder. If you don't want to work every day, you do not want to be a business owner. If you do not want to spend quality time with an intimate partner consistently and communicate effectively and be vulnerable, you probably shouldn't get married. And I'm just learning as I mature at 35 how many people are misguided on one end of the seesaw that looks great, but they don't understand the iceberg underneath it that actually creates that. And so whenever you see something and you envy it, try to look deeper underneath the iceberg and realize that most of the stuff that you want was actually bolstered up by a bunch of stuff you definitely don't want. And if you do look at the entire iceberg and still want it, that's when you know you should go for it.
Okay. Wow, this is great stuff. And it leads me to the next question, Alan. How do you really define the difference? And there is a difference between fulfillment and happiness. Or do they somehow kind of complement each other?
So you had mentioned at the beginning health, happiness, and prosperity.
Yep.
And I think that when people think of happiness, I think it can be very confusing. And for me, the pursuit of happiness, you know, are you happy? I never fully bought into that. And when I was younger, I was trying to, and this is kind of the story of where this started, but my mom came to me one time in my early 20s and she said, why does intelligence matter so much to you? And she said, why isn't it enough to just be nice? And at the time, I thought that was a pretty ignorant question. But, you know, what's the difference between a smartphone and a dumb phone or a regular phone? The smartphone is more capable. And so to me, as much as I might get villainized for saying this, intelligence in the 21st century is the most important thing. And if you want to have choices and design a life you love. And we're all born with different potential. We're all born with different opportunities. I understand I grew up very, very poor. I didn't know how I was going to go to college, that kind of thing. But when I looked around my environment growing up, I got really scared.
Mm. Yeah.
And the reason I got really scared is I grew up in a very, 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 very challenging environment. So father passed away when I was 2. I had a stepfather from age 3 to 14. He left when I was 14. And I haven't seen him or any of his family since. We didn't spend much time with my birth father's side of the family because my real last name is actually McCorkle.
Okay.
And we were sort of pretending a little bit that my stepdad was my real dad, so I changed my name to Lazarus. And we didn't see my birth father's side because of that.
Wow.
So luckily they allowed us sort of back and with open arms after my stepdad left. But then my mom got in a tough fight with her sister and we kind of got ostracized from her side of the family too. And my grandpa had passed away at that point, and so he didn't really bring us together. So by the time I was 14 years old, and I didn't understand this at the time, but I've since done therapy and really reflected, I kind of lost 3 families by the time I was 14. And my sister had moved out too, so it was just me and my mom in that house. And we, you know, when my stepdad left, he also took 90% of the income, so we went from pretty well off to I get free lunch at school now. I don't know how I'm going to go to college, even if I do get in. And I'm shopping at, you know, thrift stores like Salvation Army and stuff like that. We weren't going to starve, but it wasn't prosperous, right?
Yeah.
And so anyways, the reason I tell you that is because I grew up in an environment where I looked around at my neighbors and my friends and my all this stuff, and I just saw a lot of miserable human beings. And as a kid, I was very naive of like, why? Why does everyone seem so unhappy? Especially marriages. Marriages were so scary to me because everyone seemed so unhappy in their marriages. And I remember thinking, and this is my answer to my mom's question, is why does intelligence matter to you so much? And I'm a math guy, I'm a computer engineer, so forgive me for this, but I think in numbers. And I said, I'm trying to figure out the equation to not end up old and miserable like everybody else.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was kind of my 20-year-old ego version of it. But I went on this journey to try to figure out how to not end up like that. Because right. I saw so many people that were wildly unhappy. I mean, it is very clear. And I've seen some of them since, and they're just not very fulfilled. They're just kind of doing their thing, and that's all good. But my point is, they don't have goals. They don't have dreams. They don't have aspirations. They don't have a ton of hope. They don't wake up every day excited for life. And I wanted to live a life that was magnificent. I knew it was possible. I don't know how I knew that, by the way, but I knew it was possible. And so anyways, I created this framework called the happiness framework, and it's broken into 3 parts. So what we call happiness, I actually think is 3 things. The first third is joy. So joy is being in the present moment, enjoying what you're doing. So for example, if you love basketball, you can be sweating and in pain playing a game, but still enjoying yourself.
Right.
But it's not pleasurable. And that's the next one. So the first one is joy. Second one is pleasure. It's not pleasurable to be in the gym sweating on the Stairmaster. But it is pleasurable to eat donuts. It is pleasurable. And all the things that I think pleasure is the trap, personally, I do. Pleasure is the dopamine hit. Pleasure is the immediate gratification. Pleasure is alcohol, drugs, porn. It's all the things that are immediately gratifying, but they give you no fulfillment. And that's the third one. The third one is fulfillment. The third one is fulfillment. So you've got joy, pleasure, and fulfillment. And fulfillment is the one that comes from growth and contribution. Fulfillment is the one that comes from doing something meaningful that you enjoy doing, but might be challenging, which challenges you to grow and become more. And when you become more, you have a non-ego, non-toxic pride that comes from looking in the mirror and saying, I did something meaningful today. I grew today. I learned today. I became more capable today. And therefore, I have more positive choices in the future. And so that's the last piece, which is, I don't think you can be fulfilled if you focus too much on pleasure. And I think a lot of us fall victim to the pleasure trap because we don't understand that what we're chasing is pleasure. It's not actually happiness. We're told, like, do what makes you happy. And we think that means pleasure. But no one ever explained that pleasure is not what makes you happy. It's actually a trap that actually makes you very unhappy. So, for example, drinking can be a lot of fun, but the hangover is never fulfilling.
Yeah.
Donuts are delicious, but they're never fulfilling. And yeah. I know because I've tried to eat as many as I could.
Yeah. Wow. I'm very impressed by your frankness. And as I said before, you speak with such deep conviction and passion that I think it helps someone who's listening to you to really do some introspection, be reflective, and at least focus on that most important aspect of being honest with oneself and really trying to align yourself with some values in life that not only makes sense, but in a way contributes to your life and to the people that are in your life. And that even brings more value to us in terms of us being here. I love putting it this way, Alan. I think that the Creator placed us here, and in placing us, He actually made an investment in placing us here. And now we have a vested responsibility to give Him an ROI. Because at the end of the day, we are not just here to make up numbers. We are not just to be on somebody's database. We are here for a specific function and a purpose. So here's the thing. Discover what your function is. Discover what your purpose is. Discover what your destiny is. Get in tune with the thing that you feel most defines you and you can define yourself in, and share it with the world. Because there is so much more that we can do for each other. But unfortunately, we do a lot more for ourselves. And I don't mean to steal your thunder, but I get where you're coming from in terms of that thin line between the dopamine rush and the thing that is actually real and foundational. So thank you so much for sharing.
You're so very welcome.
With regards to the podcast, what are you guys currently working on now? Or is it a consistent level of information building up on what you have been working consistently over the time that you've been in the podcast? Is there anything new to look forward to? Any other developments? And I know we're in the age of AI and it's quite challenging for some people, but how are you guys adjusting what you do in terms of the engagement for your audience with the podcast?
I have it written here on my whiteboard: build a great community, build a great company, build a great team, build a great community.
Right.
And it's in a cycle. It's actually a triangle that build a great company, build a great team, build a great community. And so every day, every team member is focused on trying to help real people in the real world. And that's really the thing too. We leverage AI, we produce podcasts, we, you know, that kind of thing, social media, but we're trying not to lose the community and the belonging and we built a company, a team, and a community around this mutual passion of holistic self-improvement.
Okay.
The people who know there's more and who want to sail away from toxic relationships and who want to grow and develop themselves and who want to be fulfilled. And in terms of what we have that's new, we've got like a lot of cool stuff. So we just created the Streamliner that I use every single day. It's a journal.
Yeah.
It breaks down your goals and dreams into tiny daily habits and tasks, and it's gratitude and that kind of thing. I don't like the planners that take an hour a day to do. So we created one that takes only 10 minutes, mm-hmm. but so you can be consistent. We have 23 departments, 21 team members. Everything's at nextleveluniverse.com. We do retreats. We do live events. We do monthly meetups. We do a book club every week. all kinds of cool stuff. But the podcast really in and of itself is the one train that's at the epicenter of everything we do, which is holistic self-improvement in your pocket from anywhere on the planet, completely free. And we do an episode every day because you take a shower every day, you can improve every day is kind of our belief system. You brush your teeth every day, you can improve every day, not by a lot, but by a little bit. And when you improve a little bit each day in the areas of life that matters, it compounds and your whole life can look completely transformed in, you know, a couple years if you can stay consistent. And so everything we do at Next Level University is try to create a staircase for people to get to their dreams instead of these giant leaps that are really more fake than anything.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. And we appreciate comments that are coming in from our audience live. So I'm just going to show you this one, Alan. It's from Vimla Samsundar. She is in Canada. Very informative. Thanks for sharing. There you go. So, yeah, great. Thank you so much for that comment. We appreciate your sentiments, and we love to hear from you as we continue to produce the content that gives people the opportunity to achieve health, happiness, and prosperity. In terms of mentorship, Alan, are you doing any of that? Let's say you're looking at some individual or maybe just one person, and you're seeing that kind of potential in them, and you're thinking about continuity, and you're saying to yourself, I could invest some of Alan in that individual or in this group of people because I want them to sort of continue with the stuff that I've been doing and building on, even maybe in different areas, but nevertheless, I feel like I could mentor these people. Are you doing any such programs right now?
Yeah, so we have a group coaching program that has 10 individuals, all like-minded, heart-driven individuals. Uh-huh. We always say heart-driven, but no BS.
Okay.
Heart-driven, but no BS. And we've been doing it for actually a couple of years now. So we are about to graduate our 13th group.
Yeah.
So we do it every quarter. It's a 90-day program. Mm-hmm. And group 14 opens, I think, in April 12th, I want to say. I think it's April 12th.
Yeah.
I want to say. And it's on the website. So if you go to nextleveluniverse.com, it's not Next Level University. It's Next Level Universe. Uh-huh. Because the person with nextleveluniversity.com is asking for too much money. So we decided to do nextleveluniverse.com. But okay. It's a group coaching program, team of 10. There's an assistant coach. We've got 6 sessions, biweekly sessions, connection calls in between with the assistant coach, Amy. She's amazing. And it's self-awareness, others awareness, everything to help you achieve your goals and dreams and habit track and stay consistent and accountable with the team. That's kind of the cool thing. We tried to replicate what it felt like on a sports team.
Mm, yeah.
If everyone can think of a sports team they've ever been on, yeah. There's something about the accountability of a team and a coach that brings out the best in us.
All right.
And if you ever think of when you were in the best shape, a lot of times it's when you were on a team, like a sports team,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you were so consistent and you were so motivated and you were so engaged and so disciplined. So we try to create that same feel in a group coaching program. But the only difference is instead of working toward one common goal, we're all sort of working collectively towards our individual goals. And so, yeah we have a group coaching program and it's only $97 a month. So okay. It's for 3 months. So it's a 3-month program, $97 a month. You can pay all up front or as you go. So it's the most affordable thing ever. But thank you for asking. Appreciate it.
And thank you for sharing, Alan. We appreciate that as well. What about you personally? Do you have that still voice person that if you are troubled or you need to make a big decision about something really important that matters, there is this one individual that you can call on anytime and they're just going to listen. And they know you enough to understand what your passions are, what your goals and visions are. But there's going to be that still voice waiting, not to tell you what to do, but maybe to just guide and lead and then help hold your hand if that becomes necessary. Mentorship.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant. I have an answer. I'm so excited to answer. Yeah. So my beautiful girlfriend, Emilia, she's my coach. She's my best friend. She's my mentor. She's my mentee. She's the love of my life. And it's the most magnificent. I mean, if I could have described this relationship when I was in my early 20s, I would have thought this person was lying. I mean, we've never fought. We've been together almost 5 years. No raising voices, no storming out, nothing like that. We have our own podcast together. We coach couples together. We're actually doing one later tonight.
Right.
And it's just magnificent. But she, you know, a lot of people say, well, my wife is always right. And she's not my wife yet, future wife. But she literally is always right. So I look back at my past and I reassess my life. And I had a lot of coaches and mentors and people trying to guide me and all stuff. And a lot of them were great. And some of them were absolutely full of it. And when you mature in life and you get more knowledgeable and more intelligent, you reflect back and it's like watching a movie you saw as a kid and you watch it now from a higher sense of awareness. And you realize that a lot of the advice you got was really not good.
Mm.
And so everyone either goes up in terms of your reverence and appreciation or down.
Down, yeah.
And let's just say most people are going down. And again, it is what it is. My girlfriend... every time I reflect, everything she's ever guided me in, to answer your question, has been 100% on point.
Wow.
And so I'm not saying she's always right because she always needs to be right or anything like that. She doesn't at all. She's actually just unbelievably sweet and she guides more than she tells.
Yeah.
But she's actually always been right. So I always go to her whenever I'm in trouble. And then my business partner, Kevin, also is the best listener. And whenever I'm frustrated behind the scenes because of someone who's deeply entitled, I vent to him.
Hey, Alan, Kevin was an amazing guest on this program. And I got to mention to him that you guys have some sort of synergy going. You seem to have a lot in common. It's sort of symbiotically driven. And I'm really impressed by that because we need to understand that we ought to be able to complement each other in life, in business, whatever we do. And I'm amazed that you have this incredible relationship with your girlfriend, soon to be wife. It's something that a lot of people are seeking and searching for and just can't find. So hats off to you guys. Great job. Well done. We're about to close off. We're just probably 1.5 minutes away. And what I want to do now, Alan, is give you the opportunity to just say, let's just imagine you have this megaphone and you can speak to almost 8 billion people, roughly, population of the world. It's the only thing they're going to hear from you. What are you going to say to them?
Choices. Everything is a choice.
Yeah.
Even when it feels like it's not.
Wow.
And what you say is a choice, but also what you don't say.
Yeah.
What you do is a choice, and also what you don't do. What you believe is a choice. I would say, think, do, feel, believe.
Okay.
Say, think, do, feel, believe. Those things are within your control. What you do and don't say, think, do, feel, and believe.
Okay.
And if you make more constructive choices, you have a higher probability of having a deeply meaningful and magnificent life. And life, I think, I don't believe that life is easy. I never have. My life has never been easy. I think that people who want to believe life is easy, I think it's inaccurate. And I think, unfortunately, every time life gets hard, people with that unconscious or conscious belief, they think something's wrong. Every time life's not great, they think something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Life just kind of sucks. But that's okay, because despite that, you can make it meaningful.
Right.
And there is hope, and you can have a bigger, better, brighter future. And the alternative is too pessimistic and too nihilistic and too hopeless. And I think believing in yourself and making positive, constructive choices towards your dreams is how the whole world's going to change.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. So we're just going to run this ad quickly and then come back and wrap up with Alan in the breakout room.
Check out Andy's Personal Development Podcast, available today on your favorite podcast platform. Andy's Personal Development Podcast, sensitive and engaging, uplifting and inspiring to the point of fulfillment. many episodes up for you to listen to already. Make sure you subscribe to be notified of future releases. Topics include successes born on both sides of the street, from mess to messenger, empowered women and the road to Maresco, achieving self-actualization through the ninja way, loving after narcissistic abuse, never quit on a bad day, discover your calling through self-mastery, and more. Andy's Personal Development Podcast is geared and designed to meet and fulfill the many instances of our search for answers to the mystery of our life, choices, circumstances, and outcome. We don't have to settle for second best or less. We can empower and inspire ourselves to rise one step higher every day and to realize our true self and potential to a brighter and better day. And in Andy's Personal Development Podcast, they have discovered so much that they must share it all with you, and you can gain the experience of a lifetime. That's Andy's Personal Development Podcast. Stream it today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, and more. You can also connect and follow on Instagram at AndyCharles8417, on Facebook at Andy.Charles.393, and on LinkedIn, search Andy A. Charles. That's Andy's Personal Development Podcast. Go stream, download, and subscribe today.
Okay, great. So we are still live with Alan in the breakout room. And Alan, we just want to give you the opportunity to share. I'm going to help you a little bit on the screen with your contact information, how they can make contact with you, what's the most effective way to get you as maybe your professional services, as a business coach, as a mentor, as someone who can give them good information on how they can build a profitable business and make it impactful, as well as the podcast.
So if you are out there and you are into holistic self-improvement, or you want to start a podcast, or you want to start a business, or you want to grow your podcast or business, Kevin and I have dedicated the last 6 years of our life, minimum of 6 days a week, honestly more like seven, to really figuring out, when you have 1,600 episodes, and they're not like little snippets either, these are real episodes, you just make every mistake in the book. And we also coach podcasters and business owners from all over the world. So my youngest client is 18. My oldest is 63, from all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And you just learn through trial and error over time what works and what doesn't work in the 21st century too. So a computer engineer who's got a master's in business, who wants to see you flourish, and growing a podcast and growing a business underneath it is not easy. And you really do need guidance. So whether it's me or someone else, I really believe in that. And yeah, reach out. You can reach me at alan@nextleveluniverse.com. You can go to nextleveluniverse.com, or you can check out our podcast, Next Level University. And we are on YouTube and every platform.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing, Alan. We appreciate you, and we appreciate the stuff that you have shared with us live in the breakout room on our podcast. So until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development, together with our guest, Alan Lazarus, saying so long, Godspeed, God bless. Until next time, remember, keep striving for health, happiness, and prosperity. Shalom. Namaste. Bye for now.